Have you ever scanned a QR code on a whim, fully expecting to pull up, a complex technical manual or maybe a detailed interactive dashboard, and instead you're just met with that incredibly frustrating page not found error?
Oh yeah, it's like the digital equivalent of driving at full speed right into a brick wall.
It's a jarring experience. We've all been there, right? You just stare at your phone like, what went wrong?
And what's really surprising is how often it actually happens, even within massive, supposedly sophisticated enterprise deployments. You'd think they'd have it figured out.
Right. Well, today's deep dive into this technical document on dynamic QR code infrastructure is going to, I mean, it's going to completely change how you look at those little black and white squares.
It really reframes the whole concept.
Exactly. Because the mission for today is to move past this idea that these are just disposable throwaway graphics that you just slap on a piece of packaging. Because when they're architected correctly, they aren't just stickers. They are a vital, highly managed, hidden layer of modern digital infrastructure.
Yeah, establishing them as an invisible bridge between the physical and digital worlds is it's really the critical first step here. If you think about the sheer scale of where these
It's
operate,
massive.
it's everywhere. We are talking about global retail displays, sprawling public transit systems, commercial property boards, and, highly complex international supply chains.
Right.
In every single one of these environments, a user simply points a smartphone camera and they are instantly teleported from a physical, tangible space into a vast digital resource.
It's magic when it works. But the core problem we're tackling today, the main friction point from the text, is a fundamental tension between those two worlds. Because physical printed assets, well, they remain in circulation for months, sometimes years or even decades. But the digital destinations they point to, those change
Absolutely.
constantly.
That's the crux of it. You have a physical object that is effectively permanent, and it's inexorably linked to a digital destination that is inherently temporary. I mean, websites get completely restructured all the time.
Oh, constantly.
Entire product lines are discontinued, server architectures migrate.
Okay, let's unpack this because we need to break down what a traditional quote-unquote static QR code actually is and what makes it such a massive liability when we talk about operating at that kind of enterprise scale.
So the defining characteristic of a static QR code is that the final destination, the exact URL or the text string, is permanently encoded directly into the physical geometric pattern itself.
So the routing logic is basically carved in stone,
Yeah.
or, well, printed in ink in this case.
Printed in ink, exactly. Once that specific pattern is stamped onto a piece of aluminum or, printed on a million cardboard boxes, that physical ink dictates the routing forever.
Wow.
It can never be altered.
Which brings us to the operational risks detailed in the source. Because at a global scale, relying on a static routing mechanism isn't just an inconvenience, it is a serious vulnerability. Let's look at the first immediate symptom we mentioned, broken links.
Right. A company decides to migrate its web hosting, or they update their URL taxonomy, which happens every single day in the corporate world.
Right.
Suddenly, 100,000 physical assets deployed all around the world are pointing to a complete dead end. The physical bridge is still standing perfectly intact in the real world.
But the digital highway on the other side has been demolished.
Completely demolish.
And even if the link doesn't break, you run into the second major risk from the text, which is outdated information. Let me give you an example. Imagine you're walking down the street and you scan a promotional poster for a concert or a
Yeah.
festival, but it's an expired event. Or you scan a label for a discontinued product. The link still works, technically, but the information is completely irrelevant to you now.
The friction that creates for a user is immense. Or think about it in a B2B context. You scan a logistics label expecting current compliance data, and it's loading a regulatory framework from 3 years ago because that hard-coded URL is deprecated but still technically live.
It's a huge problem. And consider the fallout from a purely financial perspective, which is the third risk, reprinting costs. If you have a massive multinational rollout, say 50,000 high-end retail displays.
And someone realizes there's a typo.
Yes, a single typo in the hard-coded URL. Or the marketing campaign just needs to pivot suddenly.
You can't just deploy a software patch to fix that.
No, you have to physically recall and replace 50,000 pieces of physical material.
Because you are attempting to solve a digital routing problem with a physical supply chain solution, and that involves shipping, logistics, manual labor, material waste, It is, without a doubt, the most expensive, slowest possible way to fix an error.
It's a nightmare. And suppose everything works perfectly. Just pretend. Suppose the link never changes, there are no typos, the event never expires. You still face the fourth massive deficit mentioned in the text, the total loss of engagement data. Static codes are, functionally speaking, completely dumb graphics.
They are just ink reflecting light into a camera. There's no built-in telemetry whatsoever.
None.
An enterprise might spend $5 million deploying physical assets across three continents, and they receive absolutely zero feedback on how often those access points are being utilized.
So, keeping this in mind for you listening right now, deploying a static code is a massive gamble. It's really only safe if you can guarantee with absolute certainty that the destination content is going to outlive the physical medium it's printed on.
And in the modern tech landscape, almost nothing outlives a piece of industrial plastic.
True. Very true.
Which is why the paradigm shift to dynamic QR code systems is so crucial. This is the solution the text points us to. Dynamic systems completely separate. They decouple the physical printed code from the final digital destination.
They insert an intermediary layer. So let's walk through this. I want us to carefully walk you through the exact technical process outlined in the text. This is a four-step redirect mechanism. What is actually happening in the network when someone scans a Dynamex code?
Okay, so the first step happens before the scan even occurs. The physical QR code itself only encodes a very short, unique, redirect URL, not the massive final web address.
Okay, got it.
Second, the user point your device at the code, and your smartphone camera reads that tiny short link. Third, your device connects to a dedicated intermediary redirect server.
So it doesn't go straight to the website.
Exactly. It hits the redirect server first. And finally, step four, that server instantly forwards your connection to the actual configured final destination.
And it all happens in milliseconds.
Yeah.
So to you, the end user, it just feels like a seamless direct connection to the final web page.
But that millisecond is where all the power resides, because that redirect is controlled centrally by a management platform. The system administrator can reroute the traffic on the server side at any moment without ever needing to touch the physical printed asset.
Here's where it gets really interesting, though. There's a surprising technical quirk we found in the text. A secondary advantage to this architecture that actually has nothing to do with the routing itself, because dynamic codes only need to encode a very short string of characters. That short URL, the actual physical pattern of the QR code, is significantly less dense.
Think of a static QR code trying to hold a massive, complex URL that's just packed with tracking parameters and UTM codes.
Oh yeah, those look like TV static.
Right, it's like trying to print an entire novel on a postage stamp. The geometric squares have to be incredibly tiny, tightly packed, and highly complex.
Whereas a dynamic code is just printing a short poem. Because the URL is so short, the squares in the physical pattern are bigger, blockier, and much simpler.
And that physical simplicity translates directly to hardware performance. Your phone's camera sensor can resolve that simpler pattern much faster. They are exponentially more reliable to scan.
It makes perfect sense.
This is critical if the code has to be printed at a microscale on a small hardware component, or if it's being scanned in a dimly lit warehouse, or even if the physical surface just gets scratched or weathered over time.
I love that concept. The fact that the software architecture adding a complex digital intermediary layer actively improves the hardware's physical error tolerance in the real world.
It's a brilliant systemic efficiency. And of course, that intermediary layer provides the core superpowers of the dynamic system, the most transformative being the ability to edit destinations on the fly.
This is where it becomes magical for organizations, because it makes physical assets endlessly reusable. Think about commercial real estate. That's a great example.
Oh, absolutely.
An agency invests in premium, heavy-duty, weather-resistant property boards for their house listings. With a static code, the moment a building sells, that expensive piece of hardware is essentially garbage. The sign is useless.
But with a dynamic code, the agency can leave that exact same physical board bolted to the sidewalk when the property next door hits the market. They just log into their management console and repoint the routing logic to the new house listing.
The physical object just becomes a permanent blank interface.
Exactly. And every single time someone interacts with that interface, the system generates data, which solves our fourth risk from earlier. Because every scan is forced to hit that redirect server first, we are no longer flying blind. The redirect service actively records scan events.
And I just geek out over this data side, because we aren't just looking at raw click counts, are we? What are the specific analytics we're extracting from that server ping?
The telemetry is highly granular. The system captures four main data points. First, the total volume of scans, of course.
Right.
Second, it records the precise time and date of every interaction. Third, it logs the approximate geographic location based on IP routing. And fourth, it identifies the device type and operating system the scanner is using.
Which fundamentally transforms a piece of static metal or a printed poster into a measurable node on a broader network.
Hmm?
You can run spatial A/B testing out in the real world.
Yeah.
You know, instantly, if a physical deployment in Tokyo is overperforming on iOS devices on a Tuesday,
yeah,
compared to the exact same physical asset deployed in London.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, treating QR codes as infrastructure, achieving that level of control and capturing that depth of telemetry, it requires a complete evolution in how organizations operate.
A shift in mindset.
Precisely. You cannot treat these as disposable marketing stickers anymore. You are deploying distributed network infrastructure. And infrastructure requires rigorous end-to-end lifecycle management.
You can't just spin up 10,000 dynamic codes, export them to a printer, and forget they exist. We need to really dig into the five stages of this operational life cycle from the source material. It starts at the very beginning, stage one, creation and assignment.
Generating the unique pattern is trivial. The software does that in a second. The critical work in the creation stage is assigning the code a clear, highly documented purpose within the organization's architecture.
What do you mean by that?
Well, what specific asset is this attached to? Which regional team owns it? What is its operational lifespan going to be?
Because if a team skips that documentation phase, fast forward 6 months, and you're left with a massive database of anonymous short links.
Exactly.
And you have absolutely no idea which physical objects out in the real world they actually correspond to.
It creates an unmanageable digital sprawling mess. Clear labeling, metadata tagging, and strict taxonomies during creation are what prevent chaos later. And once that foundation is set, you move to the second stage, deployment.
And deployment isn't just handing a PDF to a print vendor. We are talking about integrating these access points into the physical environment. They are molded into plastic housing on manufacturing lines, painted onto the sides of shipping containers, embedded into permanent public transit signage.
And the physical reality of that deployment environment dictates everything. Because these materials are going to circulate in the real world for extended periods, the code becomes a long-term gateway.
Right. It's subjected to weathering, UV degradation, physical wear and tear.
Yes. And that physical permanence makes the next stage absolutely vital, which is stage three, monitoring.
Because once those codes are out, surviving the elements, you need a constant pulse check. You aren't standing next to every shipping container in the world watching it. The redirect server acts as your digital eyes and ears.
Administrators have to constantly evaluate the performance telemetry. Monitoring provides real-time insights into how users are actually interacting with the physical environment.
So, for example, are there sudden, unexplained drops in scan volume that might indicate a critical sign in a transit hub was physically destroyed? Or maybe obstructed by construction.
Or conversely, are there unexpected geographic spikes in scans? That could suggest a product has been diverted into an unauthorized market. Monitoring gives an enterprise the agility to react. And when the real world demands a reaction, you enter stage four, updating.
Because the underlying digital reality is in a constant state of flux. Compliance manuals are revised, seasonal marketing campaigns roll over, product support forums migrate to entirely new platforms.
But instead of triggering a massive physical recall, the administrators simply update the routing logic on the centralized server.
The physical bridge, the code painted on that shipping container, remains perfectly intact. But the traffic is instantly and silently redirected to the new destination.
It ensures that users, like you listening right now, always reach relevant, up-to-date information, regardless of how much the underlying digital architecture has shifted since that physical code was originally deployed.
But every campaign eventually sunsets. Hardware is decommissioned, buildings are torn down. Which brings us to the fifth, and arguably the most strategically neglected stage, retirement.
You cannot simply delete the routing logic from the server when a campaign ends. This is a huge mistake companies make.
Why is that?
Because if that physical asset still exists anywhere on the planet, and it probably does, deleting the digital route recreates the exact dead end we were trying to avoid in the first place.
Or worse, if you abandon a custom short domain used for those codes, a bad actor could purchase that domain.
Oh, absolutely.
And they could instantly hijack hundreds of thousands of physical access points around the globe, redirecting them to malicious sites.
The security implications are severe. That's why retirement has to be an active, managed process. It means gracefully redirecting the traffic to a universal corporate landing page or a legacy support portal, or displaying a clear branded message explaining that the campaign has ended.
It's about decommissioning the asset safely without breaking the internet for the person who stumbles across it 5 years later. Managing this intricate five-step lifecycle across a multinational enterprise, it requires heavy governance.
Operating at scale demands it. Without strict governance protocols, you end up with siloed teams generating untracked codes, overlapping departments accidentally rewriting each other's routing logic. It's just total administrative chaos.
Let's look at the specific governance practices required to maintain order here. First and foremost, the text mentions you need active, centralized inventories.
You have to know exactly what access points are live on your network at any given time. Second, you need to map those digital codes to their physical deployment locations. You need a reliable record of where these objects actually exist in the physical world.
And critically, controlling administrative access. We're talking about role-based access control. You can't have a junior employee holding the keys to reroute a million global product packages.
Definitely not. The editing privileges for that redirect server must be tightly guarded and audited. One incorrect database entry and you've derailed a global product launch, or you violated compliance regulations.
Formal assignment and strict access hierarchies are what maintain reliability. Because if a user scans a code and hits a dead end or the wrong site, you burn trust. And trust is the foundational currency of any user interface.
The final piece of this enterprise puzzle is integration. These dynamic QR management platforms are not designed to operate in an isolated vacuum.
They need to talk to other systems.
Exactly. They are architected to integrate directly via APIs into the broader tech stack an organization is already utilizing. They feed data directly into massive CRM platforms, property systems, customer databases, and marketing automation tools.
They become physical extensions of a company's central nervous system. The QR code on a pallet isn't just a printed label anymore. It's a live data feed talking directly to the logistics database in real time.
By integrating that telemetry natively, the physical interactions trigger automated digital workflows. It bridges the gap seamlessly.
So, to summarize all of this for you, we started this deep dive talking about the sheer frustration of scanning a code and hitting a broken link. But hopefully, the next time you see a QR code out in the world, whether it's on a coffee cup, a transit poster, or an industrial shipping crate, you won't just see a printed sticker.
No.
You will see the physical tip of a massive digital iceberg. You're looking at a complex, actively monitored, dynamically routed network infrastructure that is connecting the physical environment you are standing in to an ever-evolving digital world.
Adopting this infrastructure thinking is really the only path forward for organizations that operate at scale. By decoupling the physical code from its digital destination and managing the lifecycle rigorously, they ensure their physical assets remain resilient, adaptable, and highly useful over the long term.
It fundamentally changes how you perceive the built environment. We've spent this time exploring what happens when these systems are managed perfectly through their entire lifecycle. But take a look at the physical world around you right now. Think about it. If a QR code carved into a piece of metal or painted on a wall can survive in the physical environment for years or even decades after a project ends, what happens 50 years from now if organizations fail to manage that retirement phase properly? Could our physical world eventually be littered with digital ghost towns? Just thousands upon thousands of abandoned permanent gateways pointing to long-forgotten digital servers that no longer exist? Keep an eye out for those abandoned bridges next time you take a walk. Thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive.